Dr. Elise Mann has decided she is not going to run for 56A again, which means it's an opportunity for the DFL. And a top-notch DFL candidate has stepped up and is going to run for 56A. Kayla Berg is kind enough to join us right now to talk about her campaign. Hey, Kayla, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's so nice to chat with you, and it's so nice to have you on the show. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
All right. So you hear that the seat's going to become open. First of all, why don't we get a little background? Who exactly is Kayla Berg?
Sure. Okay. And also, I want to point out that I'm running in 56B.
56B. I put down A. It's 56B. That's correct. My bad.
No worries. So I am a mom of two amazing young sons, 18 and 20. Who I raised right here in Burnsville, and they went to Burnsville Public Schools. I've been a flight attendant for 17 years and a union member and labor activist for a decade and a half. And I got in this race because I'm rooted in this community. I've organized here, and I'm ready to lead here. So, one of the core values in our home growing up was to be in service to others. And I've really carried that through in my adult life, especially in the labor movement. I found that those values really resonated with my own values in terms of, standing up for each other in the workplace, the collective power, and really making sure that in spite of or maybe because of our individual stories, that we're all working together for the betterment of all of us. And so I've served my members and the broader labor community, and running for office is just another way to serve my community.
Well, I find that, your story is something I've heard somewhat before, and the sense being is that you get involved, and obviously being a mom, let's start there. I've got three kids myself. It is a little bit hectic. You learn how to time manage. You learn how to take care of. You learn how to care and empathy. These are great qualities to have. Union, can you say the airline you work for?
Oh, sure. It's called Endeavor Air, and it's regional jet service for Delta. And we're Association of Flight Attendants, part of CWA, the Communication Workers of America.
Beautiful. And you see, as you're part of that organization, you're on the front lines of the labor movement. You see the day-to-day impact of what happens with laws and rules. And so you get that experience. But then I know that you've been working really hard behind the scenes, volunteering, helping out the community, helping to organize in regards to the political movement. I know a few people who are like you who basically all of a sudden one day say, you know what? I think it is my turn. I think it is time for me to take that next step, and I think that that's a great option for you.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah, so I have volunteered on Lindsay Port's campaign when she actually ran for this seat, for Angie Craig, both times she ran for Hunter Cantrell. And, I found when I was volunteering for these amazing candidates and also just being part of the political landscape here in Minnesota, that although we have really incredible and inspirational leaders, I haven't seen a lot that are like me, single mom, not somebody who comes from a wealthy background or has immense personal wealth, whose personal story doesn't match what you really see in the legislature typically. And so I think that a lot of people don't think that they have that pathway to leadership without some sort of fancy title or wall full of degrees. And so I really want to show people that, yes, there's a path to leadership, no matter your story or especially because of your story.
I'll give you a quick story here. I was finishing out my college degree, and I was talking to this career person that was taking care of the credits, and he said, and I was talking to him, and at this point I was just finishing it up, and I had like one or two classes left to go, and he goes, well, what do you do for, and well, I cook. And so, well, I want you to explain to me the meals you made this last week, which I did. Okay, I made chicken this night like this. He goes, I'm going to give you a cooking credit, and because you just describe doing it, and I guarantee you know how to do it. You wouldn't really learn that much out of a class here, so I'm going to do that. I think that you said it exactly perfectly. There's a tendency by people to diminish their real-world experience and the applicability of that real-world experience, especially when it comes, whether it's a union representative or working in politics and helping to serve the community. I do think that people sometimes undersell their skill set.
Yeah, I think that's true. That's funny that you mentioned that, because my dad said to me a couple of years ago that every flight attendant at the end of her career should have the equivalent of a PhD in psychology because of everything that we deal with at 30,000 feet. But I think that's true, because Dr. Elise Mann has obviously left an incredible legacy behind the work, you know, that she's done, especially around healthcare, the emergency insulin bill, taking on Big Pharma. I mean, she has done just an incredible job in her freshman year. But I think that there's really a place for the other side of the story. You know, clearly she approached healthcare from a doctor's point of view. I come from the point of view of having intermittent and inadequate healthcare. Mm-hmm. And that's not a unique story. Right now during COVID, I don't have healthcare, because I typically have about, you know, 2 to 3 part-time jobs, none of which qualify me for healthcare. And unfortunately, that's not a unique story. That's what's happening across Minnesota and across this country. And so I think being representative of that piece or that part of the conversation is as beneficial as having, you know, our doctors and other healthcare professionals as part of the legislature.
Democrat of the day is Kayla Berg, 56B. She's running down in that race there. You bring up healthcare. Obviously, that's something you want to champion for 56B. Let's talk about a few other things. I know one of the things that is always interesting, especially we're talking about a district that is growing. It's getting more population. And then once again, that becomes the education issue. The schools are just not funded. We've talked over and over again about the funding problem that we do have here. Talk a little bit about what you'd like to see to do for education within 56B.
Right. So I am a huge champion for fully funded public schools. Long before COVID, my stance was pay our teachers and pay our nurses, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if we didn't know teachers and nurses were heroes, we know now. But teachers, you know, they don't have the tools that they need in their classrooms to ensure every student succeeds. They need smaller class sizes, paraprofessionals. They need periods of time where they can prepare for their next class instead of just being slammed all day long because of the various challenges they have. But from the point of view of our students, you know, I've advocated for my child through the school system for many years, and just run into a lot of roadblocks because of lack of funding. And what I'm talking about is one of the most important relationships for one of my sons at his high school is his school counselor. And these school counselors, you know, many of them are part-time or they're split between 3 campuses, you know, off and on throughout the week. And I think we need to have on-site school counselors on every campus full-time to address the traumas that our kids come to school with that we're not even aware of. I think we need to fund our school activities, because those are the places where our kids are going to form their passions and their interests for the rest of their lives. And much of that is all too often on the chopping block, music programs and drama programs and, you know, whatever the other clubs and things that your kids can join into to really become well-rounded. And then too much of the time, these funding issues are passed on to the taxpayers through referendums and levies, and the burden is on the taxpayer. And I do not mind paying more property taxes to fund our schools, but that's something that's beginning to become just more of the norm. I think we need to dedicate those funds from the state level.
I also want to make sure I mention another issue for you is something that it is unfortunately because in obviously the priority is coronavirus. We talked about this, mm-hmm. but gun violence in this country is still at epidemic proportions. As a matter of fact, I believe there was a shooting today in Arizona. I believe there was a shooting today in Texas, a mass shooting, and two of them. One was on a naval air station, I believe, in Texas. The other at a shopping complex out in the West. The gun violence, once again, we have too many times where after the shooting happens. I brought up the shooting that happened at the Waffle House not that long ago. And I said, you know, why is it that some guy who clearly should have never had a gun in the first place is allowed to have a gun, does what should be pretty obvious is going to happen. He's going to start shooting it because of anger issues and probably is not of the mindset to have a weapon like that. And we, at the afterwards, it's become the to go to say, well, that guy shouldn't have had a gun. Well, mm-hmm. why are we always reactionary? Why can't we be proactive and have
common sense, not a ban, not outlawing, but common sense gun regulations that keep us safer.
Right. Okay, so this isn't about anybody attacking the, you know, your right to bear arms. It's about being responsible. It's about, you know, parents of 5 and 6 year olds that that are involved in active shooter drills. That wasn't a thing when I was in school. Even when my kids were young, that wasn't something that was happening. There were a couple of incidents at Burnsville High School a couple times since my kids have been here. And the school district, they were fantastic. They were on top of these incidents, and they sent out a message immediately, and kids were able to leave the school if they didn't feel safe. It wasn't actually an active shooter situation, but just some sketchy stuff. And the school was fantastic about it. And I don't think that we can have a conversation about education unless we include the gun violence prevention piece of it, because we should all be safe in our schools and our communities. And that doesn't mean that we can't have guns. You know, my kids and their dad, they go hunting. They go through gun safety. The guns are stored responsibly in the home. But that's not always the story. And so just making some of those decisions that make sense, like universal background checks and red flag laws and closing the loopholes at gun shows, I mean, that just makes sense while still allowing people to have the freedom to enjoy the activities that they can do with guns.
Absolutely. And like I said, I mean, I think I'm in Minnesota. I grew up with there was our hunting weapons were in a display cabinet in our house. My dad showed me. We're not talking about hunting weapons. We're talking about weapons that were designed for armed combat. Ooh. I'm a veteran. I can tell you the difference between a hunting weapon and a weapon that's designed to be used in a combat situation where you're trying to kill the other person, for goodness sakes. And I think that, you know, having unbridled access to those weapons, that's just, it's lunacy to expect that you're going to throw that into a crowded room and that you're not going to end up having people shooting people. I think we've seen it over and over again, and I'm very glad that's part of your campaign. As well, I do want to make sure I mention here the economic security, jobs, working families. Mm-hmm. There's a big debate going on right now that there is with coronavirus, and obviously none of this is good. We've got a horrible pandemic in this country. We have economy which is cratering because we can't just send people back in to large scale work. Talk a little bit about economic security, because it is a very this is one of those topics that's evolved quite a bit in just the last few weeks.
Right, and I think it's going to obviously continue to evolve. You know, I don't think that I could, you know, give a good answer about, you know, what would I do around the budget once elected? I would have to look at the economic landscape when I'm elected. But just to, you know, a personal tie to that, I'm a flight attendant, and we are considered essential frontline workers. And I'm as afraid to go to work as I am not to work. And that's never really been something that I had to think about. If I don't go to work, I don't have a livelihood. If I go to work, I'm exposed to all manner of things, right? So what's the answer? And, you know, this is something that blows my mind, but, you know, the sort of drama at the Capitol has been the Republicans saying that they're going to block the bonding bill if Governor Walz doesn't open up the economy to their definition of opening up. So that we can sort of kickstart the economy. And it's like, okay, but that's exactly what a bonding bill does, right? It's like we infuse money into these projects, construction projects, to help maintain and fix our existing infrastructure and other projects to improve. And that gets people back to work, and that puts money back in the economy. And so to say that that's the thing you're going to block if Governor Walz doesn't do what your exactly. definition of the right thing to do is... It's like counterproductive to your argument. So I think we need competent, effective, compassionate leadership in the legislature, and that's why I'm running.
I've shot myself in one foot. Don't make me shoot myself in the other. You know, you nailed it exactly. Okay, I want to, above board, Kayla Berg. I'm friends with Kayla. She is a top-notch candidate. I'm my highest endorsement. We need her in St. Paul. You've just heard. We need her in St. Paul. It's leadership that inspires us and will get things done. I'm going to drive people to your website. It's Berg for Minnesota, correct?
Berg for Minnesota, all spelled out, .com, and then our Facebook page is Kayla Berg for State Representative.
I'm going to link
to join us there.
I'll link to everything. So Berg for Minnesota, BergForMinnesota.com. You'll find all the information. Donate if you can. Obviously, I'm presuming like everyone else we talked to at Democrat of the Day, your volunteer opportunities, they're kind of fluid right now. You'll figure it out, though, for people that want to volunteer, correct?
Yes, we will. And we are welcoming, and it's going to be a great time. My campaign staff are mostly women and young people, and we are just ready to change things.
I'm ready to follow by all means. It's leadership that we definitely need right now. Kayla Berg, Kayla, thank you much. Come back anytime, okay?
Thank you, Matt. I will.
Democrat of the Day, 56B, Kayla Berg. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.